Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10.05 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome. We didn't get to the Texans. So, who is the most likely to pick number one in the 2022 NFL draft? Guess who?
Our Houston
yes!
Texans.
Yes! 24%. That tops the 2020 Jaguars, who entered last season at 23%. Most likely, they've been projecting this since 2018, but the Texans have set the record, set the bar for the most likely to pick number one overall at 24%.
Do you have a surprising team in mind that will battle the Texans for this? Because I don't know if the Jets were expected to be good last year, but they weren't expected to be as bad as they were. Then they went and screwed it up. Now they got Zach Wilson going 11 for 24 and throwing two picks in a practice.
Right. Apparently, according to reports, he's not looking really good.
Apparently, he's had his on and off. But the off has been really off.
Who would you rather have right now quarterbacking your team, Tyrod Taylor or Zach Wilson?
I wish you would have said Zach Wilson first because I would have beat. but she went Tyrod first. Missed opportunity. I'd rather have, if you're talking about one season, one game, I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor. But as far as my future, I'm taking Zach Wilson on the chance that he becomes a really good player. We know what Tyrod Taylor is.
Yeah. You still have the Lions who will fight you. For the Lions at 15%, Jets at 10%, Jags 8%, Eagles 7%. And I don't know how anybody can catch the Texans. It's a possibility. I mean, if they start out hot with this bad quarterback play that they're going to see, then it's a possibility. But the rest of the way, it gets a lot tougher. And you do have the Jets that you play as well. So hopefully Zach Wilson has a real shot at being the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Early, yeah. I didn't get it really. I mean, you put up numbers against bad competition and people. Now, sure, you can watch him throw a football and get enthralled by it. But I didn't really get. We saw him against competent competition in previous seasons. You're like, huh? Okay, what is he? You're meh. You're a mid quarterback. Now that the competition decreases almost tenfold and he is a legit prospect, I mean, who's the best team they played? Coastal Carolina? And he was okay. He looked like the guy that we had seen up until this year. I agree. There's a real shot that he is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Particularly early. Because there's not a competition. It's not like he's been thrown into a fire where he has to win a job. It's his, and they're going to sink or swim with him early. And I get the thinking, but it isn't like he'll even be tested. Like, he has to go beat out maybe an established veteran. He's just going to be handed the job and expected to go out there and play. And the Jets have added payroll, and Elijah Moore is apparently pretty good as a rookie, at least in training camp. But I don't have much faith in Zach Wilson being early.
No. They got a chance to beat out the Texans for that number one overall pick. And then... Well, we'll see whether or not, the Cardinals were quick to pull the trigger on a one-year quarterback. We'll see if the Jets would be as likely to do so and oust Zach Wilson like the Cardinals ousted your boy.
Ooh, the Josh Rosen experience.
He's on the Niners.
Is he still with the...
No, he's with the... Trey is right. He's with the 49ers.
Oh, it's still your boy.
No. I mean, he was my boy for like the three or four games he played because he was starting for my team in a season they were admitting they were quitting on. They didn't say it out loud, but
he didn't get a fair shake.
He didn't, Trey?
No. Josh Rosen didn't get a fair shake
in Arizona.
Miami.
How many games?
And Arizona.
How many games do you think he should have started in Miami?
All of them.
Okay, that's one opinion on the matter. They thought differently.
He was doing good. It just his receivers would drop all these passes. Did you see the game against the Cowboys, Dell?
Yes, I watched it.
You saw the game against the Cowboys. He was going off in the first half.
And he had a pretty good...
Did you see it, Dell?
Yes.
Did you see it, Dell?
He also had a couple good quarters against the Chargers. But
I still believe.
Apparently Josh Rosen's issues aren't just on the field. There's a lack of, you know, grown men believing he can be their quarterback. The leadership of men thing apparently is an issue. Mm-hmm. So until that gets changed, now he's in San Francisco. He's the third stringer, I guess. I guess he'll be on practice squad.
Where's Nick Mullen?
Maybe he'll be
fourth string.
Well, I don't know.
Nick Mullen did a nice job.
Maybe even
he's not bad.
Maybe Nick Mullen's more costly than they would like for a third stringer.
Why is Molly staring at me like
she's
this?
She's not
the whole
staring
time?
At you. She can't see you. She's
what
looking
you
into a
about?
Camera.
Well,
you're not.
She looks like she's staring at me.
Well, that's
she's making it uncomfortable. I'm married, Molly.
You think?
Just so you know,
you think you got to fight off Molly Kierum?
Yeah,
she's married too, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But
isn't she married to
Jalen
Rose?
Yeah.
I thought she was married to Jason Taylor for some reason.
No,
Jason Taylor.
His sister is. Colin Cowherd.
Jason Taylor. Oh, Jason, Joy. They do the show together. She's with him.
No,
she's kind of like the sidekick.
She does. Yeah, she's the sidekick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the other.
No. She's not with Colin Cowherd.
Well, you said he's with her. You said his sister's with Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, on the show.
But we're talking
You're
about
filth
show.
And barn mind.
What?
What's wrong with you, Del?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
You're being perverse.
Yeah.
I'm not being.
You better stop that. Charlie doesn't like that.
How am I being perverse when all I said was they're together? That's not perverse.
It kind of is.
How so?
It's just disgusting what you're talking
about.
You
brought up something.
I'm just trying to do a nice family show, and here you are.
You fantasize about Molly Kierum staring at you. Stop.
I didn't fantasize about
Stop.
She was staring at me.
No, she wasn't.
Stop it.
No, she wasn't. You think Molly Kierum can't take her eyes off you.
That's right. You know what I could? It's so funny. Already, I'm interested in the Houston Rockets.
I
watched a preseason game for the first time maybe in my life.
Well, they had three first-round picks on the floor. You should have.
I know. That's what I wanted to see. And what I saw was pretty good. We'll talk about it on the other side.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you. And it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Say what?
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 10:16 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, our Rockets last night taking on the Cavs. Not a great start for Evan Mobley, who didn't want to come here. Oh, what a shame. You didn't come here. Don't really care. Because you know why? We got the right guy. Jalen Green looked pretty good last night. 9 of 18 from the field. 4 of 9 from 3. He only took one free throw. He had 5 rebounds, all defensive. 2 assists and 1 turnover. 2-1 he was on. Not a lot of passing going on there.
Yeah.
No.
I was watching now. The number one overall pick played in the later game and didn't shoot the ball well, except for a couple threes early. One of them is going to be more economical with their dribbles than the other. Jalen Green will pound the rock.
And that's how he's
a guy. Well, the NBA is when you have a skill to be able to get your shot off the dribble, that's a pretty special skill in the NBA. Even the best players, like Klay Thompson's not a guy you want dribbling the ball a lot. He'll get his shots off, but that's a guy, one or two, and he'll shoot. Jalen Green's going to be a guy, much like we saw here with James, who massaging the basketball is what he will do. Kevin Porter Jr. is much the same. Josh Christopher, the guy they drafted, is a guy who does that too.
Yeah.
They got a lot of bucket getters and a lot of guys who like to do it off the dribble. Now, that's a great skill to have in the NBA. I just don't know what it means for cohesiveness. They'll have to figure out their roles, and it really doesn't matter. You're all young players on a bad team. That stuff will get sorted out. But as far as what they were looking at when they drafted him, I think they saw a lot of that in game one. The guy's going to be able to get his own shot.
Absolutely. Josh Christopher was
he had a couple moments. Yeah. Maybe he's the next best post defender in Rockets history because he was able to get under Evan Mobley and make a couple plays. And Evan Mobley's just a guy who you're going to put him in the post, and he's going to have some issues. He just doesn't have the strength to do that against – I mean, Josh Christopher's not – he's a guard, but he's a stoutly built dude. He's not thin. And you're just going to see that for Evan Mobley. Struggling around the rim because despite his ability to get there, he's still got to finish through contact and finish through guys, and he's not strong enough to do that yet.
Yeah. I thought Sengun really stood out. Very active, 15 rebounds. He did have, he had four blocks. He had three assists and just one turnover. They took care of the ball okay. Josh Christopher, not so much. He had four assists and three turnovers. So Josh Christopher's a guy I think is a developmental guy. Kyrie Thomas didn't look very good. KJ Martin looked pretty good. He looked okay last night. He was scoring. He was active. He didn't get as many rebounds, but he did have a really nice block in that game. But Alperen Sengun is somebody that I really wanted to see. And, man, now, he didn't shoot all that well, 3 of 10. He went to the line a bunch, though, got fouled, which was nice. And he was active on the board. So this is, you know what, and that's the difference. We're talking about our Texans team and hate to just keep on bad-mouthing them and everything else, but they've got zero young, exciting players. None. Zero. And while the Texans, while the Rockets are the future is looking bright, when you get the number two overall pick and then you make a nice trade for Sengun as well and pick him up, that's nice and something to look forward to, watching the guys grow, watching some good basketball this year as opposed to last year. I mean, you got a chance to see some exciting stuff. And, you know, again, I don't think I've ever watched a Vegas game, ever.
I've watched a couple, mainly because my team has had young players like Hero or Bam playing them, and I've watched them in the past, even going back to when Wade was playing in the Orlando Summer League, way back when it was being filmed, looked like by a telephone or cell phone. I watched it. I watched these because I wanted to see all the young talent. You know, it was a joke on the show for a little bit, but there is this video on ESPN talking about, is this the best top of the draft ever? And so I was interested to watch guys I hadn't seen a lot of, particularly Jalen Green. I had seen some of Cade Cunningham on the college level. And he didn't appear as explosive as people were telling me about. He looked more smooth. Like, he was a guy who can get to a spot. He had one take on Evan Mobley where he used his foot speed to get by the bigger man, but I didn't see this elite athlete. Maybe we'll see that as we go further along.
I saw a quick shot.
Yeah, I see a guy who's quick and smooth and get that shot up. Maybe that explosiveness we'll see later. But debut 9-18, I believe, and
yeah,
that's
4-9 for 3.
What else can you want in a debut in his first not real pro game, but as far as on the NBA level? To have him go against Ike Okoro, who's a top five pick last year from the Cavs, and have an actual legitimate NBA player on the perimeter to go against, that was good to see as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it was fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch.
I called him Isaac Okoro, excuse me. That's the Cleveland guard that
same thing.
Well, I want to call him by his right name.
Well, no, Ike and Isaac that's the name. That's the short version of Isaac.
I don't know if he goes by Ike.
He doesn't matter. His mama called him Ike, you're going to call him
his
Ike.
His mama doesn't call him Ike.
You don't know?
His mama named him Isaac.
You don't know what his mama called
Isaac
him?
Isaac Nnamdi Okoro.
Hall of Fame last night. Or was it Saturday night, rather?
They were both nights.
Oh, there was? It was two nights? It,
because of how large the class was, because you had the 2020 and 21 people getting inducted, I believe.
And it was neat. It was good. Now we've got, and there was nothing Houston-wise to get excited about, that's for sure. But we got a possibility next year. So up for eligibility, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, and Andre Johnson. Also, Devin Hester. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the voters think of Devin Hester. Will Devin Hester, will he curry more votes than Andre, Steve? What order will they get? will they get most votes?
Well, let me ask
Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, Andre Johnson, and Devin Hester.
Let me ask you. You hopefully you know this. How many pure return men have ever been Hall of Fame?
Zero.
And he would get in purely on being a return man.
Yeah. Yes.
So are NFL voters down and good with that? Or are they going to say, well, we don't do that despite your greatness?
Well, he is far and away the greatest returner ever, right?
I think
it'll
he has
be
the
interesting.
Record.
Is this kind of like a closer in baseball where that wasn't considered until it was designated hitter, Edgar Martinez? How long did it take for Edgar Martinez? Will it take Devin Hester a while, or will the voters say he's the greatest ever at his position? And we will vote him in because of that.
So Eric Metcalf had 10 punt returns for touchdowns. Devin Hester is the leader at 14.
What about Steve Tasker?
That would be a different type of special teamer.
Oh.
But Devin Hester didn't cover kicks or any of that stuff.
I mean, Vi Sikahema, Brian Mitchell, they were some of the greatest return. Mel Gray.
Yeah.
Mel Gray's one
Trendon
of the best.
Trendon Holiday.
No, not so much.
Yeah,
not so much.
I mean, you're just naming guys.
Yeah, you're just naming guys you remember.
Yeah.
So Devin Hester has 20 overall return touchdowns when you include punts, kickoffs, missed field goals, fumbles, and interceptions. I don't know if he has an interception return or a fumble return, but 20 overall. An NFL record. So he holds record. So if he's a leader and no one has been close to him since, there's been no one near what he's been since he's in his prime. I think they do have to take it under consideration. It would be interesting. I don't think he gets on first ballot. I just think they're not looking to do that unless I am misjudging that. Do you foresee a guy like John McClain and his ilk giving a pure returner first ballot Hall of Fame status?
Well, we looked at it. We thought he is the best. There's no question about it. He's not a jerk or a punk or a loser.
Uh-huh.
I just don't see it. Not first ballot. He's going to have to wait his turn like a lot of guys did. So I'm not sure if he'll ever get in, but it's a good start. I like Devin Hester. He's a good guy, gives to charities, and he did return a lot of kicks.
But not first ballot, huh, John? Mr. McClain?
No, I don't think first ballot. I didn't vote for
Explain
him.
Explain yourself, Mr. McClain.
I didn't vote for
him.
Well,
I don't have to because you're a punk and a loser.
Okay, Steve Smith, 8th all-time receiving yards. Andre Johnson, 11th. Anquan Boldin, 9th all-time in receptions. Andre Johnson, 11th again, right?
Yes.
He's 11th in both receptions and receiving yards.
If he had...
However...
There you go.
70 touchdowns in 14 years.
It's not a great per year average.
No.
Now, the last couple of years, he was just hanging on, you know, scoring touchdowns. Did he score like 2 touchdowns for the Colts against the Texans in one game? I believe that might have happened here. But...
Anquan Boldin,
it's not a great average.
82 touchdowns.
Now, I imagine
how much is it going to be?
Won't John McClain tell the story about the lack of quarterback play here? If people don't remember it, like he had to play with David Carr for years. Wouldn't he? What?
That's
isn't that what you're going to have to lean on?
That's what's put him in is look at the quarterbacks he played with.
Yeah, and even Matt
Steve
Schaub.
Smith had 81 TDs in 13 years. 11 more with one less. Oh, no, 16 years. 11 more in two more years than Andre.
See, the numbers are going to, at least that number, the touchdowns, makes it difficult. But if you watched him play, how many years was Andre Johnson a top 3 wide receiver?
He was always
in his youth and prime, he was one of the guys considered the best receiver. I mean, you got Calvin Johnson running around there too, so that's certainly a guy you have to look at. But top 3, Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, others would go in and out, but he was always there. So if you're looking at when he played, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but the numbers say maybe not.
2 first-team All-Pro, 7 Pro Bowls for Andre. Steve Smith had 5 Pro Bowls, 2 first-team All-Pros. Anquan Boldin had 3 Pro Bowls, 0 first-team.
I think Anquan Boldin will have the tougher time.
I think so, too.
Of the three. Because I don't think anyone ever, as tough as he was, as durable as he was, I don't think anyone ever thought he was one of the best receivers playing.
1 year, he led the league in yards per game. The only stat he ever led the league in, 100.1. Andre Johnson.
Did it 3 times.
Led the league in yards twice, receptions twice, yards per game 3 times. Steve Smith led the league in yards and receptions and TDs in 1 year, all the same year, 2005, and 101 yards per game in 2008. Andre never had a double-digit touchdown reception.
That is really the only thing you can point to and go, well, maybe he doesn't get it on the first time, but other than that.
But you also have to figure in who was throwing him the ball.
And the teams he had to play on, how bad they were, doesn't help his cause. Not a lot of playoff moments for Andre Johnson. Not that the other guys do. Well, Anquan does. Steve Smith made a Super Bowl. So they have that as an advantage. But as far as players, I think Andre Johnson was better than both when each was at their best. And unfortunately, he doesn't have the touchdown number to cement his status.
Andre had 7,000-plus receiving yard years. Steve Smith had more. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. And Anquan Boldin had 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Anquan Boldin was better than I thought. Anquan Boldin was a good receiver. It's just solid, solid, solid. He was in the league 14 years, just like Dre, and had more touchdowns. Receiving yards, he had less than Andre, but not much less. 13 plus to 14. Actually, Anquan Boldin was 13,779. Andre had about 400 more yards. That's not much. So, great careers, really good careers out of all of them. Will they all get into the Hall of Fame? At some point.
I think so. I think they should be considered, particularly, I mean, the league had opened up a bit, but when they were at their best, it wasn't the high flying or throw it all around the yard league that it is now. So I think that should be taken into account too, some of their numbers. Because Jordan Jefferson's going for these type of numbers in his rookie year. I don't know if that happens in 2003 and 2004 where Andre was just getting started. So I think they all do get in. Does anyone get in on the first ballot? Do they not take a receiver the first time around?
It'll be interesting to see if they take votes away from each other because they're pretty close. I'm going to vote for Andre, but I'm not going to vote. I'm not voting all three of them. Or DeMarcus Ware is also on this. Devin Hester. It'll be interesting to see. Because normally, the Football Hall of Fame has like 12 guys every year.
Well, we saw they had to have. I mentioned that it was two enshrinements because of the classes 20 and 21, but they were both large classes. We talk about the NBA and everyone gets in, or not even the NBA, it's the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. We talk about everyone gets in. Pro Football Hall of Fame takes a lot too.
Mm-hmm. All right, 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us. How about? Everything is opening back up, everybody. And whether you've been in a relationship for years or you're just getting started, excited to be back out there meeting new people, you got to be ready. Roman ready. Go to GetRoman.com/John right now and talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. Get a free online evaluation for your erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. And Roman ready means you're going to be confident. You're going to be confident to rise to the occasion. Look at this. Could be the song. This is the summer of love, and Roman wants to make sure you can participate in your way whether that be as a single or a couple, whatever it is. U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you for the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process, straightforward, convenient, and discreet. That's a key to getting started. Is simple. Go to GetRoman.com/John and complete an online visit. Go to GetRoman.com/John today. And if you're prescribed, you get 50% off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have the confidence and control this summer. Roman ready.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Short segment, then we get news of the weird. Cowboys Hard Knocks starts tomorrow. You going to watch it?
I don't care about the Cowboys, so no.
I don't care about Hard Knocks, so
I'm going to watch it.
You are?
Yep.
You're a Cowboy fan, though.
That's my favorite team, yep.
Yeah. So they got prop bets. Who will speak first, Mike McCarthy or Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones.
Oh, you get good odds there, Trey. Actually, Mike McCarthy's the favorite. A lot of times they'll start the whole thing with the head coach. But in this case, it's Jerry.
Doesn't
so.
Jerry have some control over what's out there? Do you think he want to hear himself speak first on his own show?
Probably. What will be shown first, Cowboys cheerleaders or Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones.
I think.
Yeah, the Cowboys, the cheerleaders, are they out of practice much?
They wouldn't be. It'd have to be some B-roll or maybe they'll just have some lead-in where a lot of stuff.
The introduction to the show.
Yeah. Woman will come back and tell all the cheerleaders they're too fat.
No, that only that happens here.
No,
used
but
to
it
happen
happens
here.
It happened in Dallas too. Remember?
Did she wrap them up and cellophane?
She was all like,
that was Houston.
She was all like,
I know,
you
I'm
need to
ask.
Lose some weight. The woman, it was like when the Cowboys first did Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, she was really.
I don't think it's
not a nice person.
No, she was. She was kind of. She was not great.
How do I put this delicately? I don't think it's out of line for the person who's the boss of the cheerleaders to make it known that there's a certain standard. I don't
right.
know. You can be polite about it, Del. But you can say, hey, you can't.
We don't want big girls? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what
that's
I'm
saying. That's kind of what he's saying.
James Harden doesn't play here, so.
No, but I don't think it's out of line for the cheerleader
and
coach.
And Molly Karam wouldn't make it as a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader
what do you
in
mean?
Your world.
What do you mean?
And you don't want to see Molly Karam?
I have. What? What are you talking about?
That's a problem. That's you got a problem.
I had I don't think that's not what I said. It's not out of line for the cheerleading coach to say, hey, we have a certain standard and you're
so
not
you
meeting
think
it.
They should wrap them all up in saran wrap?
No, I said that happens here.
I know. And so you were like, oh, way to go.
I don't think that's a proper way to get, you know, your charges in line, wrapping them up in saran wrap.
Apparently she was trying to just do what's best for the team.
She could have used her words in a more polite way.
What will be shown first? Prescott's ankle x-ray or his ankle surgery?
The actual surgery?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with x-ray.
Yeah, me too. I think that's too hot for TV. Even for HBO's standards.
I don't know. It's HBO. I don't know. We'll see. What will be shown first, a player fight or rookie hazing?
Rookie hazing.
You think?
Yeah, I'm going rookie
You mean
hazing.
Like carrying pads
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah, they probably have to do that. Yeah.
Or going to get donuts.
Possible.
Yeah. Or dressing up like the Cowboys cheerleaders.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
Are we allowed to make fun of, I guess would be called trans dressing? Are we allowed to do that still?
Yeah, you're toeing the line, Del.
What?
Trans dressing?
Trans.
Oh, trans dressing.
Yeah. Are we allowed to do that still? In public circles? I don't think so.
I don't think we can.
No.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think we're done with that. Who will speak first, Dak, Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, or Amari Cooper?
I think we'll hear from Dak first.
Dak. He's the favorite, but you still get positive. You get plus 150. Of those four, plus 150. Yeah, you're not going to hear from Zeke or CeeDee Lamb.
Not first. What kind of bet is that?
I don't know. Maybe yelling at somebody or something.
CeeDee Lamb will be the first voice we hear because he's yelling at someone?
No, I don't think CeeDee Lamb's going to talk at all.
You don't?
No, I don't think he's going to say anything.
He's going to take his phone away from his girlfriend.
That was the best part of the draft. Like, she was probably like, babe, why is Pizza Hut calling?
why is this hoe calling you?
Yeah, but it's disguised as Pizza
Hut. If he's smart, he would have had it named Pizza Hut, yeah.
Or, babe, why is your mom calling?
I don't know. I think you're right. It would be something, if he was doing that, it would be something like the name of a business.
Right. Or it'd be like, why is Walmart calling?
Walmart has never called anyone, at least not me. Yeah, why do you have texts from Walmart is what the issue would be.
No, it would probably be Target if she had some kind of stamp on her.
Oh, boy. You got any more prop bets, John?
I got...
You got any more?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Prop bets.
Are you, okay.
That's what, you know. I know what this means. I know what Target means.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
He and, of course, CeeDee Lamb. Y'all just... being funny. Y'all don't know nothing. Yeah, we do. We understand. We understood what that interaction was about.
All right. News of the Weird coming your way next. Trey, have you ever done News of the Weird?
No, this would be my first.
Have you ever heard it?
Yeah, of course. It's a staple.
It is a staple.
Not
it's
anymore.
Going away. Just a
it's
couple
gonna
more.
It's going to go away forever, huh?
It's going to go away forever.
I don't think it's going away, is it?
Well, you got 3 hours and instead
you could
of four.
You could keep it.
I know, but I don't know about it. I'm looking to see Lance is kind of square.
I think you should keep it, John.
Yeah.
And Lance. Aaron.
You got to talk to Aaron about that. If you missed it, if you guys are just tuning in, what are we talking about? Should News of the Weird just be you recapping the new lineup?
It is going to be weird having a new lineup, but we're going to do it. We'll tell you. If you weren't here earlier, we'll tell you what the new lineup is, too, on the other side.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Monday, August 16th, we're writing the next chapter in Houston sports radio history.
You ready?
On the independent voice for Houston sports, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Let's do it.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. 10:46. If you missed it earlier, 8 o'clock, we had the announcement. The new shows will be John and Lance from 7 till 10 a.m., Charlie Polillo from 10 till noon, Joel and Jeremy Branham will go from noon until 3, and then the three-headed monster of Jake Asman, Cody Stutz, and Brad Kellner.
Kind of reminds me of the 72 Dolphins backfield.
You think it does?
Yeah, you know, you got Jim
Larry
Kick.
Zonka,
Larry
Jim
Zonka.
Larry Zonka. And Mercury Morris.
Which one of them is Mercury Morris?
AC.
And Carlson?
I don't know.
The producers?
He's a producer.
You said if it's a three-headed backfield, you got to pick one of the three voices.
I don't know Brad all that well.
I don't know. You're
Cody
right.
Cody Stutz, you know.
I know Cody.
Is he Zonka?
Yeah, he's Zonka.
And then
Jake is the
Jim Kick.
Jim Kick.
So then Brad has to be Mercury Morris.
I don't know Brad.
But, okay. But by default, if the other two.
Well, no, Andrew apparently is.
Oh.
Then Bob Greasy's considered in the backfield. Then Brad Kellner can be that.
Yeah, he could be Bob Greasy.
Yeah. Or Earl Morrill.
Does he have glasses?
Or Earl Morrill.
I don't know what he looks like.
Yeah. Okay. So, News of the Weird, O.J. Simpson says he avoids Los Angeles. You know why?
Is he persona non grata there?
No, because he's scared to run into Nicole Brown Simpson's murderer.
He didn't say that out loud.
Did he really?
He doesn't go there because he's afraid to run into the actual murderer.
Does he think the killer's just camping out? Like, he's like, I'm waiting.
Waiting for OJ.
I got to get the trifecta.
Yeah, what is he? You think the guy needs to finish the job? Listen, that's why he's not.
That's right. Or
so
OJ, he's just afraid.
So OJ's been very public about where he is. Wouldn't the guy, if he really need to kill OJ, just travel to where OJ is? You think the guy has a only LA killing mantra?
Well, but if OJ saw somebody from that looked like he was from LA coming at him, he'd know. It'd be a warning.
I just think, look, I mean, logically speaking, what OJ said is nonsense. Because if someone really wanted to kill you, and it's not like you're hiding where you are, you could get got. If he was really worried about the murder, get out of here, OJ. Stop it. You got over. The problem with OJ is he can't quit. He doesn't know. No. Like, he got over the first time.
Just let it go,
and
OJ.
And then he had to get thrown in prison for trying to, get back his own stuff. You would think at some point, I'm just going to fade into obscurity. You know what?
No.
I got a really unexpected second chance in life after possibly doing something horrible. I'm just going to fade away. Mm-hmm. Not him.
Uh-uh.
The juice needs to be heard from.
Yep. So WB Games says zombies aren't screaming the N-word during Back 4 Blood Beta.
Are they saying dinger?
It's a question that needs to be asked.
So apparently, okay, so this is another case of mistaken identity here. Apparently, the Rockies, for those of you that haven't heard, there was a guy screaming dinger, dinger, behind home plate, but it was while Lewis Brinson was at the plate, who's African-American.
Correct.
And everybody thought he was dropping an N-bomb on him.
The audio, initially when you hear it, sounds like the N-word. But at the time, if you look at the video, this Rockies fan isn't even looking at Lewis Brinson. He's looking to his right, and the mascot is standing over there, and he's yelling at him, dinger, dinger. And by the way, the guy's sitting right next to, I guess, his wife. Not that that would matter, I guess, but it's weird if you were just yelling it out with your significant other sitting right next to you, and there's no reaction from anyone. But yeah, the Rockies have talked to this fan, and he said, yeah, I was talking to the mascot. I was saying dinger, dinger. Doesn't sound like that on the audio. The announcer thinks he says an awful word, so he makes comment about it. But so far, the Rockies are saying not the N-word.
It wasn't the N-word. It wasn't the N-word.
But are the zombies in the game doing something similar?
Apparently they think that that's the case, but the company says no, it's not. They're not screaming that. They're screaming something else, and unfortunately we don't know what it is.
So they're saying that
I'd have to read the rest of the story.
I'm reading it, and apparently our team has been made aware of offensive language that can be heard when playing the game. This was not recorded or ever intended to be part of our game plan. The audio is a result of two different written growls that are playing simultaneously, and when heard together, sound like that word. So it's interesting. Which is more plausible, that one or the guy saying dinger? I feel like dinger sounds like a more plausible explanation.
Do you think that you should be arrested if you're showing a house?
It depends on how you're showing.
If you're a real estate agent and you're showing a house to potential buyers,
are you allowed in the home?
Yeah, you. Yeah.
Why would you be arrested?
Well, because you're black.
All right, is that the reason?
That was why. Because in Michigan, apparently, police officers with guns drawn surrounded the home of Eric Brown. He was showing to his friend what he thought there was a fugitive outside. Nope, they were here for us. And they were handcuffed and sat outside the property, and it was thought that they had broken in and were trying to steal stuff. Instead, he was actually showing the house.
It's been an interesting run, this segment.
Yeah. A woman is suing McDonald's. She alleges a cheeseburger, an ad that they had on television, tempted her to break Lent.
Huh. What was it? Oh, so she didn't want to eat cheeseburgers or fast food?
Apparently she broke her Lent fast because she saw a McDonald's cheeseburger advertisement, and it tempted her in 2019. She was trying to abstain from meat and other animal products. But apparently she said the ad was so enticing that it caused her to break Lent.
So while a compliment to McDonald's for their advertising, You're gonna use it to sue them. I don't think that's gonna work.
She must have been so disappointed when she saw the burger on the commercial, and then saw the burger when she opened the bag.
You know he makes a point, honestly,
because you know what they do to those burgers on the commercial?
They spray them with
Yeah, they spray them with like oil and just garbage.
They look good.
They do,
but they're not the same, right?
They're not at all. Not even anywhere close.
not a close.
But she
thing
sustained.
At all.
Apparently, she sustained moral damage. Blames because the company.
So when you see beer advertisements,
I know. When I see Coors Light ads, do you think I like run? No. You have to have a better love for God and what you're doing here.
It's for
your purpose
Lent?
In life, woman.
Is it 44 days? Of abstaining? Is that what Lent is? 44 days?
46.
46 days?
What days are those?
What do you mean?
What days are Lent?
Well, Lent starts, it's in the spring sometimes. Sometimes it starts in February, sometimes it starts in March.
Oh, so it's not a set date?
No, Easter is always different.
It's kind of like Thanksgiving?
No. Not
Thanksgiving's always the last Thursday.
Yeah, it's always.
Or the second to last Thursday, right?
It's always the fourth Thursday, right?
Fourth Thursday? Whatever. Yeah.
Just like Halloween.
Yeah.
No, so, Halloween's the 31st. What am I saying?
Oh, yeah. Halloween's always. No, it changes. Easter changes every year, Trey.
I never kept up with it.
Well, that's not surprising. Are you Catholic?
No.
Okay.
Why?
He's like, you know. He's like, what? Hell no.
What religion would you say you are?
I'm an agnostic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You just don't believe anything.
Well, no, that's atheist.
He doesn't have religion, but he does believe in.
You believe
a higher power.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. So you're just not, I'm not going to try.
Yeah, like, you know, whatever it is when I get there.
Apparently
we'll cross that bridge
for who I am, right?
He believes that no one can really know if there's God, so why even try? That's what agnostic.
I just decided I'm not going to try.
Yeah, you don't, no one really knows.
It's kind of like you with people.
Yeah.
I'm agnostic about people. I don't know if you're really good or bad, so I'm not even going to try to figure it out. Yeah, why am I going to try?
Yeah. I'm not going to work that hard.
No.
All right, we're done. But that was good to hear, though, Trey. We're going to hear from you again tomorrow.
Correct.
Will be back here.
Trey will be back almost the entire week. So if you like Trey, this is your week.
This is Trey week. This is Trey week on ESPN
97.5. Enjoy it while
it lasts. I was going to say, Trey continues to allude to the fact that he's not going to be long for the station for whatever reason.
No, you're going to be here, Trey.
He doesn't believe it.
We'll see. I'm waiting for my key card not to work.
It's working fine and continues to work.
Thanks,
Charlie
Trey.
Palillo is working tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.